go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Yeah, so last night I said repeatedly that the program would not be live this evening, that it would be a rerun, because I would be off of a speaking engagement in Beckley. That's before the brakes went out on the car. Jesus! I went out to run a couple of errands this morning. Nothing, you know, errands, you know, running up to the Wiggling Pig for some half and half and some decaf and some regular coffee for the boss, and stopped back by the World O' Biscuits to pick up some breakfast for the boss and the boy, and on a little mountain road on the way home, the brakes went out. Well, I mean, they didn't go all the way out. They just went far enough out to be a real problem. And so I limped the car home, pretty much in low gear, so as not to be using said brakes. Yeah, Les, I'm sure that wasn't on purpose. I'm not out there sabotaging my own brakes. No, I'm beginning to suspect it's a design flaw. I'm not an auto mechanic. I don't know diddly about auto mechanics. I know enough about automotive stuff to know that I don't need to try to do my own repairs. I'm trying to, you know, do what I can to help out the local economy. Oh, there's the obligatory you drink decaf email coming in from Marty. Thank you, Marty. I'd be lost without that. But I dealt with this last year, about the same time last year, over on the left side. You know how when your brake pads are nearing time for replacement, they will they're designed to, you know, squeak and squall, so you go, "Oh, it's time for new brake pads." These don't do that. Instead, the brake pads fall out. And then the two pistons of the caliper just press against the, you know, the rotor. And so that's what happened today. And that, in turn, pretty much put paid to the idea of driving the said vehicle, you know, 100 miles round trip to Beckley and back. You can probably understand why. The net result of that, however, is that this program is live. It is, in fact, the third day of May, 2017. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that's where you go if you'd like to jump into the chat room, which, frankly, doesn't have a lot of people in it because no one was expecting me to be here tonight, let alone me. I did, however, do what I could, and I put out an announcement on the Facebook and the Twitters. And so maybe folks will wander by somewhere along the way. You never know. Maybe somebody wasn't listening last night and didn't know I wasn't going to be here. So that's where we are. Naturally, the local repair place was up to its eyebrows in work today, so They couldn't get me in, and they're just stacked up tomorrow. So I've got an opening on Friday at 2 to get this, the same thing I had done a year ago, done again. Meanwhile, I'm going to do a little internet research and see if I can find any recalls about this, because this makes no sense. People I know who are into auto mechanics and things like brakes say, "That's crazy, Bob." To which I say, "Well, crazy for everybody but me. This is the kind of thing that happens to me." Machines are not inanimate. They are, where I am concerned, they are full of malice and ill will. But out of that, we get a program tonight. And not just any program, brethren and sisters. Prayer meeting Wednesday. Yes. Oh, brethren and sisters, I'm telling you what, I wasn't planning on being in the fellowship hall this evening. And so the little old blue-haired ladies figured that they would put together a meal that would not make me just fall into paroxysms of half-starved weeping. They did it. It was an all-day affair. You could smell the you could smell the bay leaf and the onion and the garlic and the black pepper and the boiling water down in the fellowship hall kitchen, because there were many chickens a boiling. For the little old blue-haired ladies figured that they would go ahead and make chicken and dumplings this evening, knowing how much I love them, and knowing that I would not be there to be tempted by them. So that's what they did. And it smelled good. When they get done with picking the chicken, you know, you make the chicken broth, and then you pull the boiled chicken out. That's how you say it here. Boiled, B-O-I-L-E-D, boiled. And you pick the chicken out, and you make sure that you don't need any little flecks of bone in there to choke Granny to death or anything. Oh, thank you very kindly, Darlene. Or, .. Maybe someone forgot you weren't going to be here, tuned in, and hit the jackpot. How nice for me. Sorry about the breaks, Bob. As they say, them are the breaks. Them are my breaks. Or lack thereof. Thank you. Thank you, Darlene. Anyway, they picked the chicken, and they added a smidgen of tarragon, and you know, once the chicken was out, added some salt to the, and got it up, and made the dumplings. And they spooned them in there, and they put a good sealing lid on it, and they let the dumplings poach and steam. Oh, it was lovely. They made homemade mashed potatoes with lots of butter, because I wasn't going to be there. And home-baked bread, golly Moses, and carrot salad, and a pie, and for dessert, dadgummit, with spring coming on, real good now, because we're only expecting one more snowfall here in the hills. I'm not kidding. Friday, they made pineapple upside down cake with a little maraschino cherry in the hole in each pineapple ring. And that wonderful butter and brown sugar glaze, and they deployed an entire army of iron skillets, at least a battalion. They did, however, once they realized I was going to be here, they did, however, save me a few pineapple rings, and they give me some cottage cheese to go with it. It was right tasty, I can tell you, it was. It wasn't chicken and dumplings tasty, brethren and sister, and I'd be lying to you, and I won't. But it was, it at least stopped my belly growling. And the little old blue-haired ladies, they asked me about how I'd handled the sushi this past Monday. And I told them I handled it just fine. So they said that next week they would send the deacons out a fishing maybe on Tuesday and see if they couldn't bring in a few crappie or sun perch or maybe a carp or several, and they'd see if they couldn't come up with some freshwater sushi for me. But I told them, don't bother. That's all right. That's more than okay. No, we don't do freshwater sushi. That's called bait. But brethren and sister, I'm here, and you're there, and happy I am for it. For it is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn, and I do not like missing our weekly exploration of the wonderful world of faith. Heck, glory. And I tell you what, I've seen dessert go fast when the deacons landed on it, but there was something special. There was something special about that pineapple upside down cake. Little old blue haired ladies use that bright fire engine red. Butter and nut flavoring from years gone by in their yellow cake that goes with the pineapple upside down cake. It yields such a lovely flavor. And I mean, the deacon set to it like, well, yeah, like locusts upon the barley fields of Pharaoh. And there wasn't so much as a smidgen left, and not even the red color of the maraschino cherries remained upon the cake plates for the young'uns to scrabble over. And then they hauled their mighty pendulous bulk up the couple of flights of stairs and headed out to the parking lot, where they set to smoking with the sinners. Mm-hmm. And they were on about their sixth chain-smoked cigarette. Because it's tough getting through 3 hours with no nicotine whatsoever. They were on about their sixth chain-smoked cigarette when Sister Carol Baker, with her solar-powered cattle prod crackling away, just absolutely enveloped by St. Elmo's fire, it, stepped through the vestibule door, pushed the button on the cattle prod, made it go crackly crackle, and all of a sudden the deacons recalled the days of their far more mobile past, and it's like watching a herd of buffalo take off, it is, and they blew right past Sister Carol Baker into the vestibule, past that desiccating bowl of butter mints, and they ran right down front. And they're standing here in front of me, even as I speak, brethren and sistren. Even as I speak. And they've grabbed up the big old heavy brass velvet-lined offering plates. And they're just waiting for the offertory hymn so they can move amongst the congregation, sparse though it be this evening, in hopes of gathering together the seed faith love offering that helps to keep the Horn and this community together and on the air. So, brethren and sistren, just as with every head bowed and every eye closed, keep an eye out for the plates that don't give you, because them things are heavy and you can get a concussion out of it. Just watch for the plate and push that little PayPal button in the bottom there. And as an added incentive this evening, brethren and sistren, because I spent all day yesterday thinking it was Monday and thereby thinking it was not recognizing, maybe it was the sushi, I don't know, that we had started a new month. I neglected to my eternal shame, I neglected to mention Shirley's challenge for the month of May, which always begins every new month. Shirley kindly puts a $200 challenge on the table and fulfills it if other members of the Horn Family Community Congregation will put forward $200 as well. So your 10 becomes 20, your 20 becomes 40, your 50 becomes 100, your 100 becomes 200, up to 200 bucks. So brethren and sister, know that as the plates pass among you this evening, that Shirley is listening. Shirley is watching. Don't call me Shirley. Call her Shirley. And so we have an opportunity to double your seed faith love offering this evening. So again, with every head bowed and every eye closed and Shirley's challenge upon the table, brethren and sistren, I will call forward the minister of music to lead us in the offertory hymn. Amen. Amen.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around!
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around!
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, hut, sut, rill around the Ralston and a brawl, a brawl, a suet, I love you. Welcome, brethren and sistren, to Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. How? Glory. I'm a calling on you now. Amen. To get up off your seats and onto your feet, brethren and sistren. Oh, glory, I'm calling on you to sort of wiggle and wobble and waggle. Move without rhythm as you get out of the pew there, because the spaces, oh, they're kind of narrow, spaces at a premium here. And come on out into the center aisle and come on down that blood-red aisle, brethren and sister, and help, glory, and fall upon your knees at the altar and lay your hands on the subwoofer and feel, amen, the healing rays of common sense flowing through you from the server on high. Ha! I am Arch Pope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonist, Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Bob Kincaid, and this here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday from the Cathedral of Common Sense and the Horn Family Community Congregation. Amen and amen. Praise. Praise be, brethren and sistren. Oh, brethren and sistren, I tell you what, we got a lot to worry about in this world today. This world today where Satan is the Lord of the world, of this earth, of this place. And God must give him his due. Due to him being Satan and all. I think I just said doo-doo. Amen, glory. Brethren and sistren, Christians in America face an uncertain future. We was awaiting for that Kenyan Muslim, you slurper wizard, to use his Kenyan Muslim, you slurper powers to persecute all the good God factual Christians. But so, and many be they, so that he can even affect the passage of time and the shape of space. Long out of power, a multimillionaire he will be in 20 years' time, brethren. 20 years' time. It's too late, and for this dire prophetic warning, we must turn to the Reverend Brother Pastor Kevin Swanson. You remember Reverend Brother Pastor Kevin Swanson out in Colorado? Reverend Brother Pastor Kevin Swanson, who has preached entire Jeremiads, who has called down fatwas on demon-possessed people like Elsa from Frozen. Yes. Brethren and sistren, it is not we that are directly threatened, according to Reverend Brother Pastor Kevin Swanson. Satan ain't interested in us. It's already too late for us. It is, of course, our cheerins, our precious little cheerins, that Satan really wants. Because if Satan can get a hold of them right early, why, he can have a lifelong satanic sex party with them. Doubt me? Just listen to Reverend Brother Pastor Kevin Swanson. And by the way, a note going out before I run this clip. This is the part of the program where, if he is in fact listening, and if he should happen to be driving up and down the streets of San Francisco, California, this is the portion of the program where Brother Matt in San Francisco rolls up his windows so the good people there will not hear my voice, nor the voice of Reverend Brother Pastor Kevin Swanson, nor the screaming, in fact, of Brother Matt out in San Francisco. We'll give you a 5 count, Matt, to roll your windows up. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, we will assume that the people of San Francisco are now safe. Because you know what Satan has in store for our cheerins? Brethren and sistren, just 2 words. Transgender commies. That's right, brethren and sistren. transgender commies. That's what Satan wants to turn all our children into, is transgender commies. Little boys that identify as females, who in their 20th year will be fabulously dressed and marching up and down the street hollering, "Workers of the world, unite. You have nothing to lose but your chains." Oh, brethren and sistren, the threat is real. The threat is real, brethren and sistren. When the damn clip actually plays.
The state has an agenda with your children. And friends, I realize that this may sound a little bit hyperbolic. It may sound a little bit of an exaggeration. I don't think it is. Because I think if you begin to see the trajectory of where things have gone and you just draw it out for the next 5, 6, 8 years, you're going to find this is the agenda. The goals of the educational program for your kids in the public schools, the goals of the world for your children, is that your kids be transgendered and communist by 20 years of age.
You thought I was kidding, didn't you, brethren and sistren? I wasn't. It's all there. It's all there in Agenda 21 and Common Core. You know, the pamphlet that your precious little girl brings home entitled Corduroy and You. The other pamphlet she brings home, Girls and Power Tools. Yes. It won't take no time at all before Precious Lumpkin comes through the door and says, "Mama, why can't I have a crew cut? And by the way, Marx was right. Capitalism will fall of its own weight." Oh, it might seem a little hyperbolic, as Pastor Brother Minister Swanson has pointed out. It might seem like it's crazier than a sprayed roach at a fucking decon party. But you ignore his warnings at your peril. No longer will our sons proudly go out onto the gridiron and pick up traumatic brain injuries, bashing each other's noggins into nothingness in hopes of getting a scholarship to the local agricultural and mechanical university. No, they'll sit around the house knitting pink toboggans and talking about the workers controlling the means of production. Yes.
You think I'm overstating the case, Steve?
Boy, I don't know. I mean, if you take out the line from where they start, you know, several years ago, and you continue on to its logical end.
Draw that line out for the next 5, 8 years, friends. Of course, this is the agenda. Parents, just get serious about it. Do you want your kids transgendered and communist at 18 years of age? Is that your goal? If it isn't, then maybe you ought to bring a different vision into the education of your children.
Maybe you ought to, moms and dads. Of course, for the commie homosexual transgenders out there, I have a question. Why are you waiting around till they're 18? Can't we start dressing the babies? We can dress the little boys in little newborn pink onesies with a hammer and sickle, and dress the little girls in little blue onesies with and of course the little boy pink onesies have to have tutus on them, and the little girl onesies, they can have the Chinese communist red star there, and maybe instead of giving the little girls those little head squeezing bands with the bows on them, maybe we can give them a little Mao hat there in the nursery there as they're being newborn. And maybe a sort of juvenile tinkling version of the Internationale can play nonstop, as the nurses, brethren and sistren, as the nurses whisper notions from the Communist Manifesto to the little pumpkins as they lay there trying to figure out how to get their fists in their mouth, because that's mostly what your newborns work on. Yeah. Brethren and sistren, transgendered commies, that's where this world is headed. Barricades personed by guys in tights and girls with sickles in their hands. Yes. And it's not just Kevin Swanson who knows these things, brethren and sistren. No. They're working all around us. Oh, yes. We're going to have homosexual and lesbian and transgender commies, and they'll send us off to their homosexual transgender commie re-education camps so that they can at least get a pair of sensible pumps onto the good Christian men's feet, and maybe a pair of combat boots onto Sister Betty Jean's there, and get them understanding their role in the new world order. Yes, brethren and sistren. Now, dadgummit, Brother Matt, I done warned you. Subject line, transgender communists. Brother Matt in San Francisco says, perhaps we can breed a race of transgender communists crossed with jellyfish and monkeys. Red, glow-in-the-dark transgender communists. For Christ's sakes, even the insane homeless people on Market Street make more sense than these religious freaks. Oh, please, Matt, please, for God's sakes, don't let them hear any of this stuff. You don't want it getting out of the lab. That's how you wind up with glow-in-the-dark rhesus monkeys that are part jellyfish being sold in the bazaars in Hong Kong in the firstest place. Oh! But, you know, if you want to really bring America to its knees, you've got to have America ready to be taken over by the transgender communists 20 years from now. That is why, right now, even as we speak, out at the U.S. Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, they are renovating the chapel of the Air Force Academy, and it's going to be closed for 4 years. That means 4 years. 4 years of heathenism and transgender communism creeping through the campus of the United States Air Force Academy. How do I know? Because I listen to others who do my knowing for me, like disgraced former Navy chaplain Gordon Klingenschmidt.
to it.
It seems like President Trump is doing just the opposite, though, with Kristen Goodwin. She's a colonel who's just been nominated to the rank of Brigadier General at the Air Force Academy and is set to become the next commandant for the Air Force Academy, and she's a lesbian. So it seems to me that he's not considering this issue to be really that significant and important for him.
Well, to appoint an open lesbian as commandant of the Air Force Academy, where I graduated in 1991, mm-hmm. I was married in the cadet chapel. And incidentally, they're closing the cadet chapel for 4 years because of, they say it's because of weather and renovations, and they've got to, you know, seal the cracks so they stop the water from leaking into the chapel. But is there any coincidence that the 4 years you'll have a lesbian commandant is the 4 years that Protestant cadets and Catholic cadets will not be able to worship in the chapel?
Now, wait a minute. Am I to understand that Muslim cadets and Jewish cadets and Buddhist cadets and Jainist cadets and animist cadets and flying spaghetti monster Pastafarian cadets can't worship in the Air Force chapel? And please, please, don't try to palm off any of this silliness about how they're patching leaks and don't want rainwater dripping into the chapel. That's just nutty. Who would who would ever patch a leaky roof to keep rainwater from coming in to the chapel? Yeah.
It seems to me too big a story there. But to have an open lesbian appointed, not by Donald Trump, but by bureaucrats who are remaining in the Pentagon that were appointed by President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking particularly about the Office of Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel, and that is a presidential appointment that has not yet been filled by Donald Trump. So you have a leftover Obama bureaucrat who is now making these decisions in conjunction with the superintendent of the Air Force Academy, the three-star and the OUSD for personnel, have now made this decision without informing President Trump, and they got to get this confirmed by the Senate. So I'm urging people to call their senators and say, do not confirm Kristen Goodwin as commandant of the Air Force Academy. If the Senate refuses to confirm her, she will not be confirmed, and she will not be the commandant of the Air Force Academy.
So it has to be confirmed by the U.S. Senate on this.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Well, then, you mean to tell me that there are decisions being made in the new 90 states government, and ain't nobody telling Comrade Kumquat about them? Oh, this portends dire things. This country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever in the universe, amen, under God. Dire things. But you can begin to see the devious means of their devious plotting and planning. First, you get a lesbian running the Air Force Academy. And then she goes about the business of sissifying the Air Force, where won't nobody have enough courage to push the nuclear buttons to launch the nuclear missiles when the time comes when the transgendered communists from China come to overrun our upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical nation. You see how it works? And they won't, and 20 years from now, they won't even have anybody to defend us because they'll all be transgendered commies anyway. Think about it. Think about it. Think about laying there in the nursing home bed, being attended to by a transgendered communist nurse, having transgendered communist orderlies bringing you your transgendered communist meals. Oh, brethren and sistren, we are on a slippery slope to hell. And see what they done said about Barack Obama's leftover nominees and Donald Trump not knowing anything about what's going on. Oh, brethren and sister, and that ain't no accident. Just ask Rick Wiles. He knows. They all know. They're lone voices crying in the wilderness, and it's old tax-free. A crying in the wilderness, begging for somebody to listen. Yes.
Dark state's been around since the days of Lucifer. There is no separation between Lucifer and the dark state. The dark state is his political arm. It's Luciferian. It's demonic. That's the dark, the deep state, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call it, synagogue of Satan. It is Satan's political, financial, social, military arm in the world. It's his government.
Yeah.
This is his world.
That's right. He's the prince of the power of the air of this world.
We're passing through. He owns this world. He doesn't own the earth. The planet belongs to God, but the world belongs to Satan.
Yes.
That's why, Fuhrer.
Didn't I tell you that a minute ago? Didn't I tell you? World belongs to Satan. Ain't nothing God can do about it. Yeah.
Satan could offer to Jesus, when he tempted Jesus, and he said, hey, you know, I'll have all the nations bow down to you.
That's what he done. Satan looked at Jesus and said, hey! It says so right there in the New Testament. And lo, Satan did look at Jesus and said, hey! And Jesus did say, hey to Goober. A little pro tip for Rick Wiles. I mean, he's got a tax-free gig going on. And he's got enough money to work burn a stopping the wet elephant. When you say Satan, Rick, what you want to do is do this. Satan. It's a lot more impressive. Trust me.
Well, he wasn't just blowing smoke. He had the power to do it. Those were his nations.
He does it with leaders now. Probably
he's still
promises them
doing
all of
it. Mm-hmm. Still doing it, Fuhrer. Right. The world, why do we act shocked?
See, that's the thing. You got to be careful. If you're out there and you're just walking around, somebody says, hey! It might be the devil! And I ain't talking about Hillary Clinton this time.
That the world serves Satan. The world belongs to Satan.
Right.
You know, that's a radical thought. Rick, I never even thought about it like that. Satan offered Jesus the kingship over the dark state.
Yeah, he tried to cut a deal with him. And how did Jesus overcome? The word.
That's right. It is written.
How do we overcome the dark state now?
And you know who took the deal? Jesus didn't take the deal, but you know who took the deal? Hillary Clinton. Yes. Absolutely. But then because Satan is evil and wicked, he reneged on the deal. Yes. Backed right out and just laughed and laughed.
The word.
Amen.
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 We need to be speaking the word of God over the dark state. We need to be praying that Donald Trump will be delivered from whatever bondage they have him in.
Whatever bondage they have him in. I think there's probably a video recording of it somewhere in possession of, say, Vladimir Putin. And I don't know, maybe there's one with bondage, maybe there's one with kiddie sex, maybe there's one with hookers going pee-pee in the very place where Barack Obama and Michelle Obama laid their heads in a hotel room. You never know. You just don't know. But bondage, absolutely. Now, there's one to ruin supper for you. Donald Trump in a gimp mask. Mm-hmm. Bondage. Maybe some of those little leather straps and with rivets and studs and maybe a dog collar says asshole on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have just ruined the meals of countless members of the Horn Family Community Congregation. Misery loves company.
Look, I honestly believe the man meant well. I honestly do. I don't believe he deceived the people. But I believe he is deeply flawed because of his sinful nature, that they had so much dirt on him over 20 years, 20, 30 years. The dark state had been spying on him for a long, long time. And when they needed to use it, they brought it out. And I think he went ice cold about a month ago. Anybody hear the thunder? Wow. We just had a flash of lightning and thunder here in the studio. God is doing his sound effects here in True News.
Yeah. Well, me and my reverb, I can't compete with God's thunder and lightning and stuff. But did you notice he said they had thunder right there in the studio? Well, now, that is impressive, oh, your holiness. Yes.
Huh.
Did you hear that? Because that was a sign. Because there's signs and portents all over. Because, well, golly, there's. Imagine that. I mean, I know for a fact that we've got members of the Horn Family Community Congregation who live in Florida, and they can tell you it don't hardly never thunder nor lightning in Florida. Only when Rick Wiles is talking about Trump in bondage, that's when it thunders and lightnings in Florida. Because demons, you betcha.
All right. Sounded like he agreed with that statement.
Wow. Yes, I do. Wow. As he just put his foot down.
Amen.
On heaven's floor, you know. But they did. They compromised the man. And we don't know what they said to him. We don't know what they threatened him with. But he is a different man today than he was 2 months ago.
Or maybe he's just sort of slipping. I mean, could that be it? No, there's got to be some supernatural answer, right? Brother Deacon Asa says, if you're going to open the prayer meeting Wednesday filibobster with Pastor Swanson, Chappie Klingenschmidt, and Brother Rick Wiley Coyote, you better lock it out with Brian Fisher or the Horn Family Community Congregation's faith is going to be shaken to the core. Well, maybe not that. Maybe not that. But how about a little something-something else? Because, see, what you got to do is you got to listen to all of them, and then you will finally understand the fullness of God's wisdom. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just that Donald Trump is in bondage. There's a bit of a disagreement as to just exactly who Donald Trump is. We need to check in with noted bucket pudding salesman Jim Baker for clarification.
Tax day. They had marches all over America demanding the president's taxes. They wanted to see his income tax report. Mm. What's going on in America where, you know, all these people gather all at the same time, the same place? How can they all gather together? How can they all, every city, they're marching, they're all doing this. Who's setting this up? And yet,
George Soros,
the reporters all believe it. They're feeding us a lie. America's unrestful. They're waiting. They're just can't wait to get the president's tax return, and they're revolting because of it.
To answer your question very briefly, I'd say this: is we lay out, as we do when we brief and teach and train law enforcement or leaders.
This, by the way, is John Guandolo. He's an anti-Muslim conspiracy loon, and he's a disgraced former FBI agent. And Jim Baker just doesn't understand how it is that so many people could be so interested in the taxes of a billionaire who has, alleged billionaire, who has apparently set up the White House as a personal money-making operation. How could that be? Because it doesn't bother Jim Baker. No, it doesn't bother him at all.
The jihadi movement, the terrorist movement in the United States, is working directly in conjunction with the hard-left Marxist movement. Mm. So whether we're talking about any of the Soros-funded...
That would be your lesbian, lesbian transgendered communists there, who are also Sharia law jihadis.
Groups, including Black Lives Matter, at the ground level, at the state level, at the national level, and at the international level, they are working together, and there are a lot of common... to kind of punctuate that, I'll just say this. During the 1980s, nuclear protests in Europe and the United States were funded by the Soviet Union. 1,000 or 5,000 or 10,000 people don't randomly just pop with pre-printed signs and a complete logistical. When you see these things, whether it's in Ferguson or Baltimore or New York or wherever.
Yeah, or wherever, because these things, because see, people don't actually really get when, say, an 18-year-old black man is really get upset by that. They have to be made upset about it by jihadi Sharia law George Soros acolytes, because that's not really anything to get upset about.
They are planned and they are funded by enemies of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Have you studied any of that yourself?
Wow.
You know, it's when I look at these sort of things, I look...
Now, this asshole is a guy named Joel Richardson. He's all into the end times. And remember, we've been over this. So, Joel Richardson, what do you do? I'm an end times expert. How do you get to be one? Well, you say, "Hi, I'm Joel, and I'm an end times expert. Can I be one?" Get out of here, kid. You bother me. It's my corner. I'm working it. So Joel Richardson is an end times expert.
Spirit of rage.
Yes.
That has just swept the nation. I look at the riots in Berkeley. They're burning things, and Ferguson and this sort of thing is... I go, okay, what's behind this? What's the spiritual issue? Mm-hmm. Because now look, mm-hmm. Black Lives Matters. There's a very sacred issue there that much of the black community feels, and that's legitimate. But then Satan comes along and he subverts it.
Oh, I see. By the way, can I mention that end times author expert Joel Richardson is white, but he's sitting there speaking for the Black Lives Matter movement. There's something really sacred about that. But Satan has done... Wait a minute. Satan has done subverted it. From what to what? Marty wants to know, end times expert, is that like a doomsday prepper? No, a doomsday prepper actually tries to do something. an end times expert just says, I'm an end times expert, and it's all tax-free. You see how it works? Good. Meanwhile, Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve, this one being Steve in New York, says, I've never quite understood who the dark state is. Who is that? Satan? Actually, it's your synagogue of Satan. Not your sacristy of Satan. Not your cathedral of Satan. Not your sanctuary of Satan. Not your seminary of Satan. Your synagogue of Satan. Got it? Good. I mean, I'd hate for us to miss out any good on any good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, anti-Semitism, and just have it blow by there. That almost happened. But let's find out more. Is this guy any kin to Cloven Bundy? Let me tell you about the Negro. Do tell us, Joel Richardson, tell us about the subversion of the sacredness of Black Lives Matter. You know what? I think Black Lives, I think the sacredness of Black Lives gets subverted when, say, teenage black kids get shot while their vehicle is driving away by out-of-control cops, or an out-of-control cop. I'd say the sacredness of Black Lives gets subverted when, say, a cop shoots a black man in the back as he is running away at considerable distance and poses no threat to the said police officer. By the way, Officer Slager has pled guilty in federal court to murdering Walter Scott in exchange for the federal government not subjecting said Slager to horizontal crucifixion, and the state of South Carolina dropping the charges against him, which the state of South Carolina said, well, hell, we wasn't going to do nothing with him anyway. You white man.
And he gets these folks that they preempt it. What I think is happening is sort of a prelude. What I see all of this rage, I see Psalm 2. Mm-hmm. Why do the Gentiles gather? Why do they conspire? Why do they plot a vain thing? And it's not against Donald Trump. Now, on the outside, in the natural, it's we hate Donald Trump, we're furious about this, we're furious about that. But the scriptures say they gather and they plot, ultimately, against the Lord and against his anointed. And I really, there's a lack of logic. There's a rage that comes over, and, you know, they're protesting what? They don't like...
Yeah, see, that's our problem in America. We have illogical black people who are illogical because police seem to have this nasty habit of shooting black people, you know, because they can. By the way, there was the Attorney General's office of United States Attorney General Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III has announced that there will be no federal prosecution of the cops who blew away a man in Louisiana a few months back when they had their knees in his back and had him completely immobilized and, you know, killed him because they said he was going for a gun when there was no way he could even move his fucking arms. So let the bells of justice ring right the out. Our good Confederate, Attorney General is on the job. Now back to those irrational black people.
That Donald Trump is a warmonger, and therefore they're going to break and destroy. You know, there's a fundamental cognitive dissonance. There's a detach, and so we need to recognize the spirit that's behind it. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, when you see the rage of Satan directed against something, that's usually evidence that God is involved, because Satan is enraged in that which God is doing in the earth.
Yeah.
And
wait, okay, I'm struggling here. End times expert Joel Richardson has apparently just said that it's God's work when white cops blow away black people, and that the rage and that the rage of the Black Lives Matter movement is a satanic rage against the good work that God is doing through the white police officers who blow away the Trayvon the Michael Browns and the Walter Scotts and of the of the nation. Have I got that? Because that's really what it sounds like, and that's about as much of that kind of obscenity, because it is obscene. It's about as much as I can stand. It just is. There's more obscenity to come, and then we've got some news to talk about, some stuff that, you know, happened in the world that might ought to be paid attention to. But we'll take a little break. Steve in New York says, I'm going to need a lawyer after I really beat the shit out of these people, and I don't care if Agent Fred knows it. Yeah, but you're there, and they're there, and you're not gonna, and it ain't gonna happen, and... Yes, but I understand. But be careful, because, Steve, that might be the rage of Satan. Wait a minute. Satan! Wait, missed a button. Satan! Yeah, it's much more impressive with the... with the room effect on. So, here we are. An hour and 2 minutes into a broadcast that was not necessarily supposed to be, but apparently God reached down and touched my brakes because he wanted me here and not out there somewhere, because God's funny that way. And we've got Shirley's challenge on the table this evening, a matching challenge of $200. Of your seed faith love offering to keep the Horn Family Community Congregation Cathedral of Common Sense open and keep the little old lady, little old blue-haired ladies cooking away in the Fellowship Hall kitchen. So if you will, we'll just keep the plate passing. We're not going to lock the doors. We can't afford the carpet. But we're at zero. That's what I'm getting at. We're at zero. And with a $200 matching challenge on the table, that's kind of tough. So hopefully the plate will keep passing, and Shirley's challenge will get met on this third day of May, 2017. This is listener-supported Congregation Radio. See what I did there? Congregation Radio. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. We'll be back. very short distance dedication going out to the brakes on my automobile, Boz Skaggs, and Breakdown Dead Ahead. Mm-hmm. It's prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn, this third day of May 2017. Brother Deacon Asa said, I got to hand it to you, Bob. The Doomsday Slop Bucket Merchant was an even more impressive way to look out, lock out prayer meeting Wednesday than the cream cheese helmet hair asshole I had in mind. Not so fast, my British Columbian friend. Oh, no. We ain't done. Because, see, this has some real-world relevance. You remember Coach Dave Dobenmeyer? We've been spending some time with Coach Dave Dobenmeyer for the last few weeks. He always broadcasts with a backdrop of an empty stadium behind him. I don't know the backstory, so maybe it makes sense to some, but it doesn't to me. And he wears a baseball cap with a cross on it, a red bill, blue top, and a red cross. Mm-hmm. And he wants us to understand. And based on something we dealt with last week, where he said we should get ready for the arrival of interdimensional beings and cloud eaters. I think he's decided that there's good tax, and it's all tax-free. There's good tax-free money to be had in working Alex Jones's corner. He's really trying. He is. He's trying, but he hasn't gotten there yet because, well, frankly, Alex Jones is always going to have one up on him, because anybody who can come up with something like rhesus monkeys that glow in the dark and are half jellyfish, you're going to have to get up real early to top that shit there, Coach. But, you know, these precious little right-wing Christian snowflakes, you got to give them a participation trophy or they're going to claim that they're being persecuted.
Tinfoil hat stuff. It's all tinfoil hat stuff. But we can't deny. I had a friend say to me, why would they do that? Why would they do that? Well,
okay, so hang on. Just one thing. So we're clear. There's been some flooding in the Midwest and down into the Midwestern South. Rivers getting out of their banks. Levees breaking. I could have used... Well, never mind. And imagine that would... Who could possibly imagine that something like that would happen in an era of, I don't know, something that a lot of people were talking about this past Saturday, namely climate change. But that's a Chinese hoax to destroy our manufacturing. We all know that. Andrew Jackson told us so, or would have, if he'd just been around a little bit longer. He was very upset about climate change. Or I should say the climate change hoax. So it's the flooding that Coach is talking about here. Just background, you know.
Folks, we're talking about people who kill babies. They don't even think anything about killing babies. We're talking about unsaved people who'll do anything for money. They said, well, they're poisoning their own children too. Yeah, I suppose. Some of them have been told it's no, that they're doing a good thing. They're creating rain. They're diverting storms. Hey, you guys, we all work for somebody, tells us to go out and do something. We don't always know why he wants us to go out and do it. Pay people enough money. This kind of stuff's going on. So I thought it was unique. Rich, I was thinking of you this morning. The big storm that came your way, came my way. My wife said she'd never seen it rain like it rained here on a weekend. And to see that it was linear and not circular. Somebody help rescue me here, because my tinfoil hat's about to fall off. Is it wet?
Okay, it was rain that was linear and not circular. You mean straight line winds? You mean a derecho? Maybe you might want to ask a hillbilly about that. We still remember the derecho. We do. We absolutely do. But she's never... even these fools acknowledge the reality of climate change when they think they're not. Now understand, he's not going to blame the floods on climate change, and his wife certainly isn't either. No, there's a much better and more rational scientific reason for it.
Weather terrorism. I wonder how many bridges were washed.
Oh, I got to back up just a minute so that we can get that full phrase. This is right up there with transgendered communists.
I wonder how many bridges were washed out down through Missouri.
Hang on, damn it.
Is it weather terrorism?
Is it weather terrorism? I don't know.
I wonder how many bridges were washed out down through Missouri and through Illinois and up through parts of Texas. I wonder, through the flooding, how much stuff was destroyed that we can just say they can just blame it on the weather. Well, just a bad weather storm that came through there. And
no, Coach Dumbass. Climate change. Learn it. Know it. Experience it.
And, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars of damage that was done. And is it being done through weather modification? We watched that guy with the radar said he'd never seen anything like it just popping up, just a big line just popping up. You can scratch your head and say, there's nothing to it. Or
you can know the real reason.
You can peek inside the curtain, see if there isn't some man behind the curtain that they told us that we're not to pay any attention to.
Yeah. And who's manipulating the weather, according to Coach? People who'll kill babies. Folks, we're talking about people who'll kill babies, he said. They don't even think about killing babies. We're talking about unsaved people who will do anything for money. Yeah. Well, there's a problem. They keep worrying and worrying and worrying and worrying about the precious little fetuses. I mean, we've even got representing Randy Weber, who's out there balling now. Tomorrow's big day, by the way. Eric just sent me a note. Tomorrow is our national day of prayer. And why a government founded on secular principles feels the need to have a national day of prayer. I don't know. Thoughts and prayers. But the New York Times, as Eric tells me, is reporting that the Tangerine Tiberius plans to mark the National Day of Prayer tomorrow by issuing an executive order that makes it easier for churches and other religious groups to actively participate in politics without risking their tax-exempt status, several administration officials said. What do you want to bet that this executive order exempts religious organizations but does not exempt other 501c3 charitable institutions? You want to take a bet on that? I mean, let's say the Natural Resources Defense Council, just to pick an organization out of the air. 501c3 charitable organization. They've got an agenda. They'd like to see politicians elected who actually give a flying about climate change and the people who wind up getting, you know, killed by climate change related activities or related phenomena, more particularly. Maybe they'd like to endorse candidates Yeah. Just like the gospel sharps do there in their pulpits. You think they're going to be part of the executive order? I wouldn't put money on it if I were you. And it's all tax-free. But last week, they had themselves a little confab in the Statuary Hall inside the U.S. Capitol. It's an annual event called Washington, a Man of Prayer. Now, Washington was not noted for his particular religious devotion. He, like Jefferson, Franklin, and others, was a deist. And here's what's funny. The whole thing is organized by an outfit called the Jefferson Gathering. And it's a hustle of right-wing pastor, brother, minister Jim Garlow's little scam called Skyline Church out in California. House Speaker Paul Eddie Munster Ryan showed up. Senator Steve Daines of Montana showed up, and representing Tim Walberg were honorary hosts. Took them an hour and a half, and 20 different members of Congress stepped up to lead them in prayer. Because after all, it was the Washington, a Man of Prayer event, sponsored by the Jefferson Gathering, named after a man, unless maybe they were talking about Jefferson Davis. If they're talking about Thomas Jefferson, we're talking about a man who had no regard for organized religion whatsoever. But among those 20 members of Congress who stepped up to offer their testimony, there stood representing Randy Weber of Texas, who was either choked up or liquored up, or maybe both, and couldn't quite talk. He couldn't talk about the precious little fetuses without crying. It was terrible. It was horrible. Heartbreaking.
Representative Randy Weber, Texas.
Let us pray. Almighty God, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, thy
There's
kingdom come,
thy
will be done on earth, here in the halls of Congress, in our nation's capital. Lord, may your will be done. Father, you said if we would confess our sins one to another, you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, you also said that you would heal from heaven and hear from heaven and heal our land. Lord, I'm confessing but just several of the sins our nation.
Now, before we get to too much about the sins of our nation, that first hollered be thy name. Yeah, that's one little checkbox on the liquored up side. But if you want to go to rightwingwatch.org and watch this, and maybe after the program or something, I recommend you do for the visual qualities. The headline, the title of the post says, Representative Randy Weber tearfully begs God to forgive America for the sins of legal abortion and marriage equality. And I realize I'm on a little bit shaky ground here, but I'm sorry. The camera pans into the audience, and I swear to God, there are a couple of people there that I haven't seen since Fraggle fucking Rock went off the air, okay? It's worth it. It's just worth it. Honest to God, if somebody flicked a bick in that audience, between the hairspray and the polyester, the place would go up like napalm had been dropped. But that's just me, and I'm mean.
Has been so emboldened to embark upon. Father, you say in your word that your word, the man who meditates on your word is like a mighty oak tree. Blessed is he if he meditates on it daily. But Lord, we have endeavored to try to kick your word out of public schools. Father, we have endeavored. endeavored to take the Bible out of classrooms, the Ten Commandments off the walls. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Father.
Okay, I'm just going to mention, is there a brown liquor out there called Mighty Oak? Or maybe, I don't know, maybe that's what the Evan Williams, aged in charred Mighty Oak. Republican fundy Christians in a whorehouse. Yeah, right.
We think we're so smart. We've replaced your word, your precepts with drug-sniffing dogs, with
You don't like drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors? Put your faith where your ass is, pal. Yeah, really. No, just don't, you know. Introduce a bill, say, and you can call it deficit reduction, and you can say that we're going to cut some government waste by getting rid of uniformed police officers there at the Capitol and all the doors and take down the blast-proof barriers and just trust Jesus to keep you safe from the Sharia Muslim hordes. Not going to do that, are you, Randy? I mean, faith only goes so far, right?
Lord, forgive us. Father, we've trampled on your institution, holy institution of holy matrimony, and tried to rewrite what it is, and we've called it an alternate lifestyle. Father, oh, Father, please, please forgive us. Lord, we have gone to killing the most innocent amongst us. Your servant Moses warned in Deuteronomy 30:19 for us to choose life.
Well, and George Michael warned us about that on T-shirts sometime back in the 80s, too, didn't he? You ever wonder? Now, some of you are non-religious. You don't have the religious experience. I understand. But did you ever notice that when these folks get wound up in a real good stem-winding prayer, how they'll quote the Bible back at God? You warned us, dear Father, in Flip-Floppians 69:69. You warned us, dear Father, against the evils of taking up with harlots and the homosexuals. And you know, this is right up there with what does God need with a starship, which therefore takes care of our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. But why do these faithful servants of the Almighty feel that they need to read his words back at him? I mean, he is, as Andrew Jackson referred to him, the eternal. He done writ the book with his own finger, okay? And being the eternal and the Almighty, he has a photographic memory. He knows what's in the book. Are we trying to impress him by saying that we know too, you know, to choose life and do the jitterbug?
And on the third day, God created the Remington bolt-action rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs and the homosexuals.
Amen. Amen.
So that we and all our descendants might live, Father, we're killing our descendants. And we're calling it a choice. Oh, God in heaven, forgive us, please. Lord, we've even disregarded the wisdom of Solomon. Lord, the wisdom of the Proverbs where you say the slave will be the...
Now, hold on a damn minute. It's either the wisdom of Solomon or the wisdom of the Eternal Almighty. Skip a bit, brother. We're killing our descendants. Really? Your kids are out there having abortions there, representing Randy? I don't know. As Randy's go, I prefer Randy Rainbow, not representing Randy. Heck, I prefer our good friend Randy in PA. Marty pointing out, I noticed they never plead to their dear and fluffy lords for forgiveness over the pollution and otherwise defiling their God's earth. Well, no, of course not. Of course not, Marty, because God done right there in Genesis 6:92, Omaha, you done told us that you give us dominion over the earth and all the bugs and birds and beetles and butterflies that fly through the air and the fish what swims and the snakes what crawl on their bellies. You done give us that, so we don't need to talk to you about that no more, God.
Borrower will be slave to the lender. $20 trillion in debt, nations have to be laughing at us.
Oh, Father, please send down the lightning bolt so that while representing Randy is a praying to you about borrowers being slaves to the lenders, that he might remember the people who live from week to week. That he might put that, that he might remember from week to week, amen, sweet Jesus, about all the Americans that are in debt up to their fucking eyebrows to the payday lenders. Oh, but we're in debt $20 trillion because of Obamacare, Jesus. Yeah. Not much more of this left. Not a bunch. No.
Father Abraham Lincoln said that we have forgotten to pray to the one that made us. Lord, forgive our sins. Father, help us. Help us to get back on your precepts, on your path, to a true understanding of blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Lord, let that please be us. Don't remove your hand of protection from us, Father, please. Lord, forgive us our manifold sins. In your great mercy, bring us back to you, Father.
And then there's a cutaway to the audience again, and you got some pretty well made up ladies who are sitting upright with their eyes closed, but not necessarily their heads bowed. But in the foreground left is a dude who meant to pray. He really meant to pray, but he is sleeping. He is out. He's out. What do you want to bet that Washington, a man of prayer, had an open cash bar? Not saying. Yeah, I am saying. Because Christians.
I beg of you, I plead with you, in Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen and amen. So we got that. Please forgive us for our baby killing. Right? Yeah. Let's check in. She's a rising star over on your Morning Joe. She used to be some sort of staffer to libertarian ophthalmologist Rand Paul. That's exactly what it is, Sister Carol. Preaching from the Republican Bible 101. Amen. Any hoodles? Elise Jordan has been showing up of late on Morning Joe. I'm thinking, no, don't say that, Bob. And yeah, she used to work for libertarian ophthalmologist Rand Paul. But she's not real happy, at least Jordan isn't, with the anger, the fury that's been generated inside White Wing circles after Jimmy Kimmel done went out and told the world about his newborn son's life-saving surgery. he mentioned it. He mentioned it on his show, and then Barack Obama responded to him and said, "Thanks for telling your story." Shortly after birth, Jimmy Kimmel's son was discovered to have a heart murmur, a blocked valve, and a hole in his heart, which then surgery was performed, and there will be more surgeries. To save his life. And Jimmy Kimmel took a moment to say, you know what? If you've got a baby who's dying, the only thing you need to be worried about is how to keep the baby alive and not whether or not there's going to be insurance coverage. Well, in response to this, former Republican Congressman Joe Walsh of Illinois, who is not the Joe Walsh who produced such enjoyable rock and roll. Joe Walsh, the deadbeat dad who got sued by his ex-wife for being a deadbeat on child support to the tune of $100,000. Joe Walsh said, "Well, sorry about your kid, Kimmel, but just because he's sick doesn't mean that the rest of us have to pay for it." And he wasn't the only one, thereby evincing what we all know and recognize as compassionate conservative Christianity. Yeah. Well, over on the MSNBC, Elise Jordan didn't much cotton to what Republicans are saying about Jimmy Kimmel's and other people's sick children.
Former Congressman Joe Walsh tweeted, quote, "Sorry, Jimmy Kimmel, your sad story doesn't obligate me or anybody else to pay for somebody else's health care." And other headlines from conservative news sources were quick to sharply denounce Kimmel's monologue. I want to bring back our panel, Elise Jordan and Jason Johnson. I want to start with the Washington Times that said, "Shut up, Kimmel, you elitist creep." Here's the thing that doesn't make sense to me. The point of what Jimmy Kimmel said was the opposite of that. He's saying, I'm a superstar. I could afford anything. But imagine if you had a newborn baby and you're fighting with the hospital or insurers to possibly get that baby life-saving treatment. How is that read in any other way?
I think that this is a really disgusting example of people picking the absolute wrong issue to, you know, stake an ideological claim. Just right. Someone's baby nearly died. Let them have their platform. Let them talk about it in any terms that they want to talk about it as they grapple with their tragedy. This should not be political right now. And yes, Jimmy Kimmel did make it political, but right now it's his story. He can tell it any way he wants to.
There are so many different examples that one could use why you don't want to provide health care for everyone. Mm-hmm. What does this say? What does this do for those conservatives who are beating? I mean, this isn't about Jimmy Kimmel. I get it. I mean, we don't like you movie stars. We don't like you famous people.
Well, the other thing is, it's, you know, it,
this isn't
it's...
about.
I'll hold the damn phone for a minute. What's this? And yes, Jimmy Kimmel made it political. Let's take a minute with that. How do you talk about the fact that people in this country watch their loved ones, from newborns to millennials to Generation Xers to baby boomers to the greatest generation, die for want of access to health care without making it political? Because the problem is not the babies or the sick persons. The problem is political. It's not a science question. If the medical science simply isn't there to solve the problem, then that's what it is. But if the medical science is there, and if it is only a question of access, and if the question of access is a question of access to health insurance as opposed to health care, then in what manner does one talk about it without it not becoming political? Charlie Pierce, who has been away from the Esquire politics blog for several days now, leaving the people like me who enjoy reading him, hoping that he was okay, put up his first post today. Turns out he had a gallbladder attack. And those are nasty. I know. And in his first post coming back, he talked about what a relief it was to simply, if you can use the word simply in this context, to simply be able to get the problem taken care of. And then he proceeded to wonder about someone similarly situated, say in Mississippi, as he was wondering. Who can't do that? A cholecystectomy, at this point in time, as surgeries go, is fairly routine. Here in West Virginia, in the mountaintop removal sacrifice zone, doctors have had lots of practice at cholecystectomies. They've even gotten really good at doing cholecystectomies on children who aren't supposed to need cholecystectomies, gallbladder operations, gallbladder removals, until those children be, say, 40, 50, 60 years old. But they've gotten good at removing gallbladders from kids who are 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Yeah. So, and I think anyone who has access to medical care via health insurance coverage and who has a conscience can't help but think about that. And maybe even go so far as to wonder what this nation would be like if we could just have universal, single-payer health care. Re-enter right-wing, deadbeat dad, Republican man of conservative family values, good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, evangelical Christian, Joe Walsh, speaking on MSNBC with Ali Velshi. It's not so much that you're going to want the hockey puck for the screaming. In this case, it's for the swearing. Yours. Na, na, na. Here we go.
Congressman Walsh, good to see you again. You've been critical of this bill. You actually put out, a lot of this was stimulated by this Jimmy Kimmel thing that went viral on TV. You then tweeted something that got everybody's attention. I want to pull this tweet up to say, you said, "Sorry, Jimmy Kimmel, your sad story doesn't obligate me or anyone else to pay for someone else's health care." Interesting point, but let me ask you this. You know that by not paying for everybody else's health care, America ends up paying more per person for health care than any other developed country in the world, by a lot.
Ali, exactly. And that's why Jimmy Kimmel was off in what he said. No child is not going to be covered or not going to be helped or dealt with. Look, this is, Ali, this is...
Dealt with? Dealt with? No child's not going to be covered or helped or dealt with? Wait till your father gets home, little baby, and then he'll deal with you. Wait till your daddy, Joe Walsh, gets home, and then he won't deal with you because he won't pay his goddamn child support. I guess we can, I guess it's just normal, I mean, well, predictable, that a guy who won't pay his child support for his own kids is more than happy to have the rest of us pick up the tab for any social services they might need. And so screw anybody else who, you know, needs health care or a heart surgery for a baby or anything like that, right? Yeah, sure.
This is what's so frustrating to me. And nothing against Jimmy Kimmel. I don't know him, and Godspeed to his boy. I hope he lives a long, long life. But you
thoughts
know,
and prayers.
Better than almost anybody, health care is really complicated. And health care is bankrupting this country. We don't talk about that. A late-night comedian gets all teary-eyed, and understandably so, and then he gets political, and that moves our health care policy. And Ellie, one more point.
Yeah.
I got no doubt that what Jimmy Kimmel said the other night will move Republican votes probably tomorrow. I mean, I just don't think that's
okay.
Healthy.
So this is why I got you, because I don't have that privilege of being able to get emotional about these things, and it's not a personal story to me, but I'm going to show you some figures. I'll read them to you, because I know you probably can't see them there, but let's just talk about health care spending per person in the United States versus other countries, right? The average of all developed countries, I've used OECD countries, this is from 2015, is $3,814 per person. This is all spending. This is insurance, this is what you pay out of pocket, everything, what the government pays. In the United States, that number is $9,451 a person. Strikes me, Joe, as a conservative and a Republican, that's the problem right there.
Bingo. And the reason, Ellie, that's the case is because we don't have a real market for health care. Health care is expensive because somebody else is paying for it for most of us.
There are moments that I really, really miss the bottle of cheap tequila. The reason healthcare is expensive is because there's no market. Tell that to the CEO of United Healthcare when Christmas and the bonuses roll around, and he's able to buy a solid 24 karat gold toilet, or whatever it is that he wants. No market. Yeah, Carol, you're right. The military-industrial complex and corporate welfare is bankrupting this country. And corporate welfare is exactly what we're talking about where health insurance is concerned.
Or the insurance company.
Right.
Unless we grow up,
yep,
and most of us take care of our day-to-day health care expenses, this isn't going to change.
Okay.
Government should always be there for the needy, but the rest of us have got to assume more of these costs.
Let me give you another example. I'm going to rank.
Hold the damn phone. We've got to assume more of these costs. Most of us do. How do you do that? How do you do that when you don't have health care and you're not a multimillionaire and it's a damn near impossible struggle to come up with, say, $50 for an office visit to get your scripts rewritten, you know, for your blood pressure medicine or your cholesterol meds or what have you. And then if you want to find out whether or not your blood is turning to, you know, Mrs. Butterworth's, it's another $55 on Cheap Blood Work Tuesday. I mean, there's a lot of people, especially here in a place like West Virginia where I live, there's a lot of people for whom that is a monumental outlay of funds. Like, say, if Joe Walsh had to pay $100,000 for the child support for his kids. It's a big chunk of income. But Joe Walsh thinks that, you know, the poors aren't quite paying enough. Yeah, Carol, that's right. Prayer and better choices, Bob. Prayer and better life choices. Ask Mo Brooks. No, I don't think I'll ask Mo, because Mo answers in a language that's spoken only by morons. But I get the point. Prayer and better life choices and a little cold water on the back of the neck and the code. That's what we need. Prayer and better life choices and a little cold water on the back of the neck and the code.
Healthcare outcomes by country, right? Again, same thing. OECD countries. Let's put that up and we can discuss this. Number one, of all these OECD countries, all these developed countries in the world, Britain is number one. Switzerland's number two. Sweden's number three. These are 11 countries. The United States is dead last. Now, you know what the other 10 countries have in common? There's no market-based healthcare.
You know, like in universal single-payer healthcare. This is where it gets fun. So far, Joe Walsh, deadbeat dad, has just been, basically laying out the typical, ordinary, everyday, anarcho-Ayn Randian objectivist approach to, fuck everybody, Republican economics, okay? Let's remember, of course, that Ayn Rand had to go on Medicare and Medicaid at the end of her life. I don't know what she did with the money from the books, but yeah. So there's that. But what's coming next makes it all even better, because what would brutal, soulless, vicious right-wing conservatism be if it didn't have a soupçon of, racism?
There's universal health care in all of those countries. So, Mike, I hear what you're saying, and I'm a business guy, Joe. I generally think business can do things better than government. But in this case, there isn't a single example in the world of a healthcare system that runs in a free market.
Ellie, you can't compare the rest of the world to us. They do not have the big, diverse populations that we have. They do not have the inner city populations that we have.
Oh, did you hear it? Did you hear it? Did you have your little ears perked up? Did you hear the dog whistle? They don't have the diverse populations we have. They don't have the inner cities that we have. Huh. Sweden doesn't have inner cities. Switzerland doesn't have inner cities. England, the UK, doesn't have inner cities. France doesn't have inner cities. Germany doesn't have inner cities. You know, if by inner cities you mean Negroes, Mexicans, brown people. Because, see, there's a whole lot of our healthcare problems in the United States that doesn't have a goddamn thing to do with inner cities or diverse populations. There are an absolute unmitigated shit metric ton of uninsured poor white folks in rural America. Please believe me when I tell you that the vast majority of the state of Alabama is not made up of inner cities or diverse populations, okay? And that is absolutely certain where, say, a place like West Virginia is concerned. We are rural as fuck. And you know what? Apparently, Joe Walsh thinks that we could, all us good rural white folks, well, we could probably have universal single-payer health care. But, it's the diverse populations of the nudge-nudge, wink-wink inner cities that keep us from having universal single-payer.
I'll tell you what, people on Medicaid, Medicaid kills people because of the quality of the care. We can't afford Medicaid anymore. Look, all I'm saying is the health care is becoming a bigger part of our budget. It is bankrupting this country.
Actually, no. Like Carol said, what's bankrupting this country is the fucking Pentagon. But never mind.
and we're not having that grown-up discussion. And Lord knows, look at the mess that the Republicans are now. They're not contributing to this discussion
at all. I'm with you, and you and I are not having a partisan discussion, which is what I appreciate. But I want to show you another fact, because what I'm trying to get you to is that every other country does better than we do, and they have proven systems. So let's look at healthcare outcomes, okay? The best healthcare outcome, you mentioned this a minute ago, is life expectancy, right? Canada, 80.7. That's how many years you're expected to live. In all developed countries, 79.3. In the United States, 78.8. So I guess my question, Joe, is if everybody does it better than we do, for less money, they live longer, why can't we?
They don't, Ellie.
But they
again,
do. They
no,
do.
No, they don't. And again, you can't compare those countries to ours.
But why?
Because they do not have our large inner city diverse populations. They don't. You can't compare Sweden, Norway, and Great Britain to us. Here's the other thing. Again, they pay for it. You're not going to do that in America. I don't want to pay 60, 70, 80% tax rate for a quality of care. And by the way, Ellie, the quality of care in those countries is not the quality of care in this country.
But hold on. Why do you care about quality of care if the health outcome's better and you live longer? Those are the two things that matter. Let me show you the last one. I'm going to show you the last one. U.S. performance rankings. In terms of quality of care, the U.S. comes out 11. Efficiency, equality, and living healthy lives. Where we succeed. This is the best country in the world anywhere on health care.
But we have quality of care, which is why people come here when they really need high quality
Very
care.
Very few people come to America. Very few people come.
Rich. Wait, he just put up a statistic. Quality of care, fifth out of. I don't know what school deadbeat dad Joe Walsh went to, but fifth is not first and stuff.
People come to
the world, Allie. Absolutely. The problem is we have Medicaid that's broke, Medicare that's charity that's broke, and now we've just got another entitlement called Obamacare that will bankrupt this country.
So how do I convince you that for all those outcomes, I mean, Joe Walsh, if you want to live a healthier life to health care, you want to live longer than anybody in developed countries, and yet...
This is a bad example because I don't think any of us want that for Joe Walsh. I'm just saying.
And I've proven to you that 10 out of 11 countries do it better than America, but you won't do it.
I love you, my friend, but you cannot. Sweden does not have our inner city population, nor.
I think that's his third inner city, maybe his fourth. It would be ever so much simpler if he would just say black folks, but the dog whistle works.
These countries do not have. You're talking about countries the size of India with homogeneous populations, Ellie. You can't compare them to what we have.
Canada doesn't. That's not Canada.
Oh, Canada's my God.
Uh-oh, here comes another one. He just keeps landing these body blows.
Now we've just got another entitlement called Obamacare that will bankrupt this country.
So how do I convince you that for all those outcomes, I mean, Joe Walsh, if you want to live a healthier life, better access to health care, you want to live longer than anybody in developed countries, and yet I've proven to you that 10 out of 11 countries do it better than America, but you won't do it.
I love you, my friend, but you cannot. Sweden does not have our inner city population. Norway, these countries do not have. You're talking about countries the size of India with homogeneous populations, Ellie. You can't compare them to what we have.
Canada doesn't. That's not Canada.
Oh,
Canada's as multicultural as the United States, if not more, with a 15% corporate tax rate and lower personal income tax rates than in the United States. So even the argument about I don't want to pay more taxes. You go to Toronto, you won't pay more taxes, and your health care is free.
Not at all. You'll pay more taxes there, and the quality of care isn't as good.
You 100% won't pay more taxes there, Joe.
You'll wait longer. You will
just
wait
not
much
happen.
Longer for
You're
care.
In Chicago. You know how close you are to Canada? Go over there. You will not pay higher.
Jesus. Even when they're confronted with actual, incontrovertible facts, Republicans will not concede. Because the essence of their argument isn't logistic, isn't logic, it isn't financial, it isn't scientific, it is philosophical, and only philosophical. and the philosophy from which they are arguing is a philosophy that is about 200 and 300 years old. And that philosophy is that people with white skin are morally, ethically, physically, intellectually superior to people with darker skin. Their philosophical argument is just plain old garden variety racism. Racism. And I have never heard a more convincing clip proving that essential fact. Than what I just heard coming out of Joe Walsh's mouth. There is no viable excuse for not having universal single-payer health care in this country. The only reasons we don't have it are the avarice of the health insurance companies and their avaricious CEOs and the racism that is the foundation and the footers and the basement and the entire structure of the modern Republican Party. That is all there is to it. Get rid of the Republican majorities in the House and the Senate. Get yourself a two-thirds majority in both houses. You know, veto-proof. And you might have a fighting chance at Medicare for All. Now, somebody will probably email me and say, but, Bob, corporate Democrats, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I know, Carol. Carol says, why are you attacking Joe's closely held beliefs? The SCOTUS says that's way more valuable than facts. You fucking hillbilly elitist. That's me. It's also true. Asa, meanwhile, says, Joe Walsh is totally right. My surrogate mother had to wait a whole week to get heart surgery to replace one of her valves. Wow. That's a hell of a wait there. Meanwhile, Robert in Australia says, private companies can do it better than governments? Really? I really get tired of hearing private companies can do it better than governments. To the best of my knowledge, when government decides to do an infrastructure project, they hire private companies to do it. And we know what happens then. Somehow the cost of the project doubles or triples. And if the private company screws up and they get and then if the private company screws up, they then get bailed out by the government. Australia and single payer. Here in Australia, we have inner city populations, and after three waves of immigration since the end of World War II, an extremely mixed population. Lots of people from lots of different places. And we can do USP, universal single payer. All the U.S. has to do is scale up what everyone else does. Robert from Oz. Meanwhile, Steve points out, their argument philosophy is igum-poo. I got mine. F you. Because, see, I would love to see Joe Walsh make that argument as an uninsured person. Because he wouldn't. Now, I'm not climbing up on the cross because we all know we need the wood. But I am one of those people. And about the only hope I ever have to get getting the medical care that I need is to have something like universal single payer. Because the possibility of putting up a crowdfunding campaign to the tune of $175,000 or something ain't gonna happen. And if you go with something like GoFundMe, where if you raise some of the money, you get some of the money, unlike Kickstarter, where if you don't get your goal, you don't get nothing. Well, that's great. So, you know, people kick in and we raise $5,000 out of the $150,000 or whatever needed. People are out $5,000 and nothing changes. The simple fact is that Joe Walsh would not make that argument if Joe Walsh was not covered and did not have the necessary wealth to be covered by health insurance. There aren't any uninsured Republican opinionators out there who are not covered by health insurance who are making the argument that there should just be some uninsured people in the United States of America. I talked some, and I suspect we've got Tracy on the line. Tracy, please hold on. I'll be right there. I talked some last week and the week before. Well, last week mostly. About the fact that coal miners were about to get out of their health care. And about the fact that I know some who have stood shoulder to shoulder with me in the struggle against mountaintop removal. One of them, last week, a dear friend of mine, fell and broke her ankle in three places, and I'll have surgery for it. And only because of a vote that took place today and another in the Senate that'll take place on Friday will she be able to get the surgery that she needs to not be hobbled for the rest of her natural-born days. And so I am glad there is a permanent fix for health care. The pension still didn't get taken care of. But there's a permanent fix for miners, retired miners, in this country. On the other hand, however, I have a member of Congress, a man named Evan Jenkins, whom I would not trust with the carcass of a dead skunk, who is working overtime to try to take away what little health care people in his own district, his own constituents, what little they do have. And frankly, people who aren't minors in Appalachia deserve health care too, because we are just as American as they. $150,000 crowdfunding campaign. we can't even raise $200 to meet a matching challenge from Shirley in Wisconsin this evening. 9 minutes past the hour, and Steve from Georgistan has kindly kicked in to help meet that. We got $180 to go. I sure hope Shirley's challenge gets met. It usually comes around on the first day of the month or whatever is the first broadcast day of the month, but that's my fault. $18 at $10 a piece. Not 18 people at $10,000 a piece. 18 people at $10 a piece. You know, we're not running a program here trying to become YouTube millionaires like Alex Jones and his rhesus monkeys that glow in the dark because they're half jellyfish. just trying to keep the program going and do silly shit like fix brakes. Because this program is unlike most others, because this program is part of a community of people who live the real everyday life of the American people. Oh, it's easy to grin when your ship has come in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man who's worthwhile is the man who can smile when his pants are too tight in the seat. Yeah. 10 past the hour. Let's run over and check in with Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
So what is this that I hear about white people talking about black people saying that it's our fault? But wait, what? That there were so many things about that I was hearing about black people today and Christians and stuff. And it was confusing.
Well, it is. It depends on which part you're talking about, but there's not much of it that's very clear at all.
I heard about the dog whistle because we have all these diverse populations and, inner cities, because there's no Muslims or anybody like that in France or, England
or Canada. Canada.
There's no brown people in any of these other countries. And I have to admit that until, 30 some odd years ago, I thought everybody in England was white. I didn't know. Maybe I thought there was Indians, but I didn't know there were black people until I heard the first black person with an English accent, and it blew me the fuck away. Because, I forget, since history wasn't taught the way it's supposed to be taught, the only place that I thought slavery happened was here. And I didn't know about, slavery, where it really started, in the Caribbean and in South America, and basically that there's black people.
Dutch? Everywhere. Portuguese? What Dutch and Portuguese?
Right.
Wait. Before we get too far afield,
into
Tracy.
That one. Let me just
check in here. Did I hear that right? When Joe Walsh says we can't have single payer because inner cities, diverse populations. Yeah. He's not talking about the diverse populations of, say, people of Polish extraction versus people of Scottish extraction versus people of Irish extraction versus people of Swedish extraction or French or Italians or Germans or Spanish or Portuguese or Hungarian or Lithuanian or Czech.
Armenian.
Because those are all pretty diverse populations because, for the most part, they all speak an entirely different language from one another. That's pretty goddamn diverse, right?
That's pretty diverse.
But they don't live in the inner cities.
Well, I love the racism of this country. I was just listening to KPFK earlier this morning. This is the 75th year anniversary of the Japanese internment camps. And isn't it amazing how, the Japanese Americans were interned, but not the Italian or the German Americans? Weren't we at war with Japan?
Your Japanese were mostly on your Pacific coast there, so that meant that they might be inclined to just start swimming for Japan, or maybe Japan could reach them with
Italians and Germans on the East Coast that was closer to Europe.
Well, they're white. I mean, why do you reckon we didn't use the first nuclear bomb on Berlin?
Right.
And that's not me saying that. That is an actual provable historical fact. We did not want to use the atomic bomb on white folks.
Wow. But then again,
this is, to a certain extent, this is shades of a different America. Remember when Social Security first came in? What was necessary in order to get the Social Security Act to pass?
Southern states.
Well, what you had to do is you had to be able to show Southerners and people in other parts of the country as well, in the Congress.
They're mostly southern states.
That people who did things like domestic work or farm labor, in other words, maids and cooks and housekeepers who in southern state and farmers, sharecroppers, they had to be shown that those people would not participate in Social Security. And so all the white Southerners went, oh, okay, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we have to do to get white to get universal single and eventually, you know, after people died and didn't get to participate in everything, eventually people moved into the Social Security system, and that right was to a certain that wrong was to a certain extent righted.
Right.
So is that what we have to do? I mean, because I'm not being a smartass about this, Tracy.
No, you're not. Because you just play the clip where they said, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, we could have all of this stuff. You know, it's being bankrupt because, you know, we have inner cities and diverse population. So if we just get rid of the Negroes
We'll deal with you later.
Sure?
We'll deal with you later. That's the thing. I mean, if you want America to have universal single payer health care,
just don't let anybody.
We have to start out with a universal single payer health care that applies only to white people.
But the problem is that America, there's not just white people in it. The thing is, you can't get away with that anymore.
See,
as hard as
that's there, and you had no idea that y'all are why we can't have nice things, did you?
I Carol Baker is probably saying the same thing. It's because of us that, you know, so because people are finding their voices now, and people are standing up and saying, no, you guys, we fell for the okie doke in the 30s and the 40s.
Well, you didn't fall for it. You didn't have a say in it.
You didn't have a say in it. That's true. People were too afraid to speak up because they might come after me. You had this stuff. I mean, I'm listening, watching, you know, thinking about like the Scottsboro boys and how the NAACP just sat back and let these men, well, young men almost get killed. And it had not been for the Communist Party, and which I'm learning a lot about lately, the Communist Party. They did a whole lot until, you know, McCarthy and red baiting, and, you know, which was true red baiting, and keeping, you know, things at the status quo, scaring, you know, the bejesus out of people for no reason whatsoever other than to keep things from, you know, becoming more progressive. But it's like you said, if we keep people down and scare the holy living crap out of people, nobody's going to say anything. But I think people are tired of being, you know, because at this point, what do we have to lose? I don't think we're ever going to I'm not for that. What is that fool ass shit that Susan Sarandon, the Pokarev, what? This is some bullshit, the Apocalypse and all that. But people, I have to say, people are standing up. There are more people out, you know, running for office, which is exciting. More women are, you know, running for office. Scientists are running for office. Maybe we might actually have a chance in 2018. I know I'm probably, you know, probably that sparkle
point. Well, okay, so I mean, let's check in a little closer to home. I was watching, you know what I do in the mornings. It's my dirty little secret.
Why do you watch it? What is it, Squint and the Meat Puppet?
Because it's even worse trying to watch Chris Cuomo and Allison Cameroni or whatever her name is. Or God knows, and I don't get over the air. And so it's Washington Journal, Squint and the Meat Puppet, Chris and Cameroni, or Fox and Friends, or just say screw it all and watch watch Sports Center about, you know, basketball teams I don't give a fuck about. Although the Clippers went down, and that, I know that had to upset some people.
But then the fan, Jim, is actually rooting for Houston.
Heretic. but anyway, so we all know what I do. And what was where was I going? Damn it.
About what you were watching this morning or a couple of days ago. What do you watch? What you're guilty of watching?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So you know, all the talk was about what's going to be happening with the healthcare vote. Well, apparently, breaking news, Kevin McCarthy, the whip in the Republican whip in the House, thinks he has the votes to get a bill passed tomorrow repealing Obamacare.
Say so? Really?
Because they have flipped Representatives Billy Long and Fred Upton from no votes to yes votes. It'll get rid of pre-existing condition coverage. 24 million people will be thrown off the health care that they have. And here's the little sleight of hand they're playing. There will not be a Congressional Budget Office score of the bill.
Exactly what does that mean?
Well, the Congressional Budget Office analyzes legislation to see how much it will cost.
It's going to cost.
So, for instance, the last bill that they ran up the flagpole, the CBO got hold of it and said, well, 24 million people are going to be uninsured by 2026, as opposed to what would happen if the Affordable Care Act stays in place. Premiums for individual health plans will go up by 15 to 20% in 2018 and 2019 than if Obamacare remained in effect. It's economic analysis.
So, in other words, that helped with the definite.
What's the best way to put it? This is faith-based legislation.
Okay. That's fine.
And the Trumpanzees are just so happy.
All of which have health care.
Well, not some, yeah, maybe. Meanwhile, Sean Spicer was fielding questions today, and he said they asked him about the Jimmy Kimmel story. And, we share concern for Jimmy Kimmel's child. That's why we're fighting so hard to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. Do you doubt me? I got the audio. Stand by.
Oh, no, you're
going to
play
that. Okay. I want to get your reaction to former President Obama. He tweeted yesterday after Jimmy Kimmel's monologue, that went viral monologue you've probably seen about his child. Kimmel talked about the need to cover pre-existing conditions, the need for funding for the NIH, and Mr. Obama said, quote, well said, Jimmy, that's exactly why we fought so hard for the ACA and why we need to protect it for kids like Billy. Your reaction to both of them would be what?
Well, I think we share that concern for the Kimmel's child, as well as any child that needs care. And that's frankly why the president fought so hard to improve the bill like he did this morning, to make sure that there was that extra layer of protection for anybody with a pre-existing condition, no matter their stage in life.
This is, of course, a lie. There's no extra layer. It's all out the window. But anyway.
That's why we're fighting so hard for this. But I think most importantly, and I think at the end of Jimmy Kimmel's monologue, he said that there is no, we need to have some of these things that aren't Republican or Democrat, and that they're American policies. And I think that's what the president's fighting for right now, is to make sure that we have a healthcare system that doesn't matter where you live or your background, that it takes care of people. We're making sure right now we've talked about this endlessly over the last month or so, but we've got a healthcare system that's not doing what it's supposed to. It's failing. It's costing people too much. It's giving people a card, not coverage. And what the president's trying to do by working with these members of Congress is to make sure that we have the strongest possible healthcare system.
Which is, of course, all, Tracy, unmitigated bullshit, because this bill is the same bill. What it is, it's a tax cut that calls itself health care. And as Mike in Cascadia just let me know, he said, my member of Congress just tweeted this, more than 231,000 people. That's how many constituents of Representative Evan Jenkins could lose their health care due to tomorrow's vote.
Well, see, when they tell people, see, you're talking to somebody who, because, I live in California, and we all know, you know, for those who have been around for the last 5 years, all, you know, those of the Horn family and those who haven't, 5 years ago, I had to have brain surgery. I just had Medicare, and which was fine because I have a disability, so I'm on Medicare. And went to the doctor. I had sometimes I had a copay, sometimes I didn't, so it was no big deal. But then I had to find out that I was going to have to have brain surgery, so I went ahead and signed up for, you know, our version of Medicaid or, you know, Medi-Cal. So in order for me, because, you know, hospitals, surgery, all that, I don't know the complete numbers of how much it would have cost me to go into the hospital and to have my brain cracked open and to stay in the hospital with the anesthesiologist, my surgeon, all of that. But the bottom line is, you know how much it wound up costing me after everything was said and done, and that was even including in-home nurses to come to see me after I was discharged, occupational therapy to help, you know, to get my speech pattern back and all this stuff that probably was in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. It cost me nothing. Because why? I have
communism.
And just recent, just Friday, I had having trouble with my neck and my shoulder. So I went to go see my doctor and all that, healing perfectly fine. But I have some C5-1-2-3, and saw my neurologist. Had it, gave me a shot, vascular surgeon, because my legs were screwed up again. He did a procedure. None of I have insurance because of Obamacare. How much would this have? I would not be able to do any of this because I didn't have this. So when they say this is not working, they're lying. They have friends that if they, you know, because of expansion, I can't.
Well, let me ask you a couple of questions real quick, Tracy. In the chat room, Barkway wants to know how long it took you to be approved for disability.
That was a nightmare.
Okay, because Barkway's having the nightmare too. She said, I'm trying to complete the disability app now, and I'm flabbergasted at all the tedious info they want from me just to get started.
I could tell you when I was approved. 2006, and it started in 2002. So it took like 4 years. After my second denial, I actually got a really good nurse practitioner who... it just depends on who writes you up. And I got this nurse practitioner who was my therapist that knew her way around a disability form and wrote it up the right way. And when she wrote it up, I got approved.
Okay, so second question. You were talking about the Medicaid expansion in California. Now, you don't have that, right? You've got straight-up Medicare.
I have Medi-Medi because I signed up. I didn't have Medi-Cal until I had the surgery, so now I have Medi-Cal. So I'm of those rare creatures. I have Medicare and Medi-Cal.
So let me ask you, do you get a re-up notice every December?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I just got my re-up notice for Medi-Cal, and I just got the letter saying that they're waiting, that they supposedly mailed it in March. I never got it. So I had to go to the county office And then actually now I had to go and fill it out there and turn it in there. But at least I got the letter saying that they didn't get my paperwork, and I have until the middle of this month to get it to them.
Okay, so, yeah. It was a little different for me. I got my notice in December. And so, like a good boy, I went online to their website.
And you can't even do it online. We have to fill out paperwork.
And I did everything, and I pushed the button. And a couple of weeks later, I got a fuck you letter saying I'm no longer covered because I didn't do my re-up.
Right. See here? And that's one of the things we're fighting for out in California. We can't do it online. Well, maybe now that what you just told me, maybe it's a good thing.
You may not want to.
That's what you just said. It's like, you know, voting machines. I don't ever want voting. And I hear that they're trying to bring voting machines. You hear that they're trying to bring voting machines to Cali? And getting rid of paper ballots?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I heard they were talking about that a couple of weeks ago. After the debacle in Georgia, on the Brad blog on KPFK, they were talking about bringing voting video machines, video games voting out here in California. I will be marching against that too sweet. No, but no, I have to fill out all my paperwork and mail it in. So what I'm going to do is I went just last Friday. Pick up the paperwork, I'm filling it out, and I'm going to actually physically march it up there to them so there will be no, you know, and hand it to somebody personally.
Yeah, keep a copy of it and take a photograph of you handing it to someone personally.
Yeah, and keep, you know, because I'm, you know, I've had it now for 5 years with no issue. And it's amazing what you have to go through. I mean, because I don't get, even though, you know, I'm eligible for a lot more than what I get, but I don't need it because I do have a part, you know, I work part time and I have, you know, so I'm eligible for a lot of stuff, but I refuse to I don't take anything that I don't need. You know what I'm saying? Because I have friends that are like struggling right now who need the help and they can't get it because they have to jump through all these, you know, like Barkway. It's like, you know, it's amazing what we have to go through just to stay poor. I don't understand why they make it so hard for people to get help, especially when you've worked, especially for stuff like Social Security, disability insurance, and all these other things where, you know, if you are somebody like, you know, deadbeat dad, who did he ever pay that money?
I have no idea.
Now, if he was a black man, not only would he have lost his license, depending on what state he hailed from, his ass would be in jail.
He'd be singing 30 Days in the Hole for the next 30 years.
Yes. But see, he's a white guy and he has connections. And so he can skirt his responsibilities for as long as he wants to, because you know why? I'm a white man, and I don't have to. The rules do not apply to me, and I get health care. And I get health care, and I get to talk about. We can't have that. You know, if it wasn't for you Negroes and you Muslims and you Hispanic people and you or let's face it, people who aren't white, we would have nice things. And I'm so tired of that. It's just like Ida B. Wells talking about lynching and talking about you know, the reason why we're lynching black men is because, you know, white women, because, you know, you defiled or deflower white women. And most of the time what she says was these white women were laying up with black men because they wanted to. They weren't forced into any situations. I think, as a matter of fact, when she did her investigations, I don't think there was not one case where there was actually proven rape when any black men were raped or lynched because, you know, white women. So I'm just really tired, and I know you're tired of it too. I think anybody that has any sense is tired of this bullshit. I know I'm tired of it. What about you? And I know the whole family's tired of it. If my thing is, I'm actually taking a class on critical thinking. And if they had, you know, sustainable arguments, if their arguments held water, maybe I can actually listen to them. But that's the thing, because they don't hold water. They don't. What is this about? Have you heard of the latest with the New York Times? The guy that is hired.
Brett Stevens. Yes. Oh my God.
And now here's one of those things. Is this now that the New York Times is actually kind of trying to report, the truth and the news and all that, and all the, their circulation is up and stuff like this, and of course now people are pissed off and are, canceling their subscriptions. Is this a cutting off your nose to spite your face kind of thing? Or should people just say, you know what, we're just going to, just worry the hair off this man's ass, and just every time he writes something, just write him back. And just, if he's an op-ed, then people can write to it, back to him, right? Or Twitter and all that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, would you, if you had a subscription to the New York Times, would you cancel your subscription because they hired this guy?
Absolutely. And, I've seen the, never mind. I've seen people out there saying, Squint, but others as well saying, well, that's just censorship because you don't like what he has to say. No, goddammit. No, what this is like the New York Times hiring an exorcist to handle its medical coverage.
Right.
Or hiring an alchemist to edit its science page.
Or hiring someone from the KKK to talk about black issues.
Right. Replacing Charles Blow with David Duke.
Right.
Or hiring a flat earther to write an opinion column about science.
Thank you for bringing this up. When did all this start up? What is this madness about the flat earthers? Where is this coming from?
It just kind of popped. It popped out there in a couple of interviews of basketball players. Is it?
I think it was Shaquille O'Neal, and it's not like he's a.
No, he wasn't first. He wasn't first.
Were they all black? Please tell me they weren't all black.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes.
Aww. There wasn't one white one.
Not even. Ben,
come on, just one.
Nope. Sorry. They're all. No. The white crazy basketball players are all listening to Alex Jones, and they're worried about rhesus monkeys that glow in the dark and are part jellyfish.
Yeah, I saw that tweet from you the other day, and I meant to tweet back and ask you what that was about, but I got held up doing homework, so I forgot. But what?
I know. Just so now, just another day.
So now we have people who. How many hundreds of years ago did we figure out that the Earth was not flat, that it's round?
Oh, it's not. No. People, I've been wandering around inside the Middle Ages again. And did you know that people in the 14th century in France, in the 13th century in Europe, in the 11th century in Europe, knew that the world was round? One philosopher of the day said a person could go around the world as a fly goes around an apple.
And we have, so are these the same people who deny that we've gone to the moon?
In some cases.
Because I'm not a dummy, but I'm not the smartest person in the world. But when we went to the moon and they took pictures, and we have satellites, and they take
They have explanations.
What could the, seriously? What are the explanations?
It was all Hollywood. It's all Hollywood special effects.
Okay.
I know. It's not easy.
I I'm a simple person, and you know, I try to take people. You know, I question things. I thank God for the internet, and you know, I try when I post things on my Facebook page. I'm learning not to post things right away. I try to get more than one, at least two or three sources before I post things. And you know, no matter how fallacious and how much I want things to be true, I try not to post things right away. And I'm up because I've gotten called out in a couple of things that I posted as fake news and stuff like that. So you know, I've learned, and you've gotten caught a couple of times on your end too. So because nobody's perfect, but I just don't get. In 2017, that you know, the things that we're still talking about, there was somebody, I don't know how we're friends. I don't know if they're if we're friends because of the horn or what have you. I don't even know who this person was, but I finally had to, you know, stop. I didn't block them as a friend. I just stopped following them because, you know, they were in my news feed, and they kept talking about I'm a flat earther. And on and on, and I finally had to. I'm like, okay, I have to stop following you because you're making my head hurt. Because I can't get this man. I have enough on my plate.
Well, okay, about, so time out, Tracy. I have to award a cowbell to Brother Deacon Asa. To Brother Deacon Asa, who said, more importantly, Tracy, follow the money. Who profits from pushing the grand conspiracy that the Earth is round? Big Longitude, that's who. No, that's the one for the night. That really is.
That's good. I have to say, but it's just when you talk about that movie, you know, I have yet to watch it, but the more I listen to like you and I actually got to call in to I was listening to Brad Block this afternoon because he's on Wednesdays from 3 to 4. And I got to listen to his show, and I actually called in because he was he played Comey's. I guess they had a hearing. Was that hearing today?
Yes, and I haven't even touched on it.
Well, we got
a couple of minutes to work with. Oh,
we got a couple of minutes.
But before we do that, I got to get some thank yous out. Let's see. Thanks very kindly to Steve in New York. And thanks very much to Frank Fab in San Francisco. Thank you very kindly. The note says, a little gift from your anarchist, social, feminazi, neoliberal, for fuck's sake, and a nanny moose. Have a good night. Hope to be here to listen tomorrow. thank you also to Brother Deacon Asa, and thanks to Darlene in Connecticut, and thank you to Sandra, and again for getting us started on all of it. Thank you to Steve and Ms. Karen and Cletus and Twiggy. Cletus and Twiggy are good little puppies. They're very, very good puppies. Thank you one and all. Shirley's challenge has been met.
Well, since Shirley's challenge has been met, let's do one for Kimba because she's almost a year old.
Kimba's a good baby.
So we got a good girl. Let's do a $25 Kimba almost a year old challenge.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you so much, especially with the unanticipated brake crisis. That's a lot of fun.
Because you're not a Christian.
Well, probably so.
If you were a Christian, your brakes is Satan.
Yeah, if I was a good Christian, my brake pads would not have fallen out.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be a design thing. The snork isn't around this evening. Otherwise, we'd be talking about that just beats the hell out of me. And the thing is, it happened on the passenger side almost exactly a year after it happened on the driver's side. No, you talked. You mentioned Comey, though.
Yeah, no, I was because he played. You know, he played the clip about how he was. Slightly nauseated because he felt that, you know.
Yeah, he felt slightly nauseated because he helped foist Donald Trump onto us.
Mm-hmm. Bitch, you should be. I didn't see the video, but I said, was he clutching his pearls when he said that?
No, I watched, and if you will bear with me for a moment, you've kind of opened a door.
See, I opened the door.
Anybody, and I'm sure Billable Rick isn't listening. I know Steve in New York is, and I think Steve's got some experience with trial practice. Every time, when a witness is testifying, a lawyer will watch the conduct of the witness as much as listen to the words that the witness is saying. And there are some tells. You being a gambler, you know what a tell is.
Oh, yeah.
Twitching like you've got St. Vitus dance. When you get, 10, jack, queen, king, and that ace lands, you're like, and you start humming, we're in the money.
And it's all in the same color. We're in the money.
Right, yeah. Yeah, those are tells. By the way, Kimba's $25 challenge has been bet by Mike in Cascadia. We'll call it the Save the National Monuments or Teddy Roosevelt will come down and kick some Trump ass challenge. So Mike would like to see another $25
roll in. That's a whole other conversation.
And I so want to see that. But so there are tells, and this morning as I watched, and I watched from the beginning, James Comey, originally the first questions were asked by Charles Grassley, who I'm pretty sure was loaded. I think the dude starts drinking at about sunup. That or his dentures just don't fucking fit. I don't know. I still remember.
Or he soaks his dentures in brandy.
Well, there's that. that's nice. Nice. Well played. I just remember the really icky story about Chuck Grassley eating off of Carol Baker's plate when she was a young Girls Nation or FFA or whatever, the high school girl. And he just started eating, right. And I think, if I recall correctly, and I'm not sure Carol's still listening, but he reached onto her plate with his fingers or something. I just remember the story being really creepy at the time.
That just gave me...
Yeah, I know.
Just the heebie-jeebies.
So, anyway, from the very outset, Comey was speaking really fast and really loud. And if there'd been a jury in the box, there would have been more than a few eyebrows going up. And then there was this moment, Tracy, where he started you pay attention to body language, but you also pay attention to language. And right. Comey was using words like the magic that the FBI does and our technology wizards who fight against the zombies. I kid you not.
The zombie apocalypse? Is he hanging out with
No, he was talking about computer bot networks, botnets. And he says, well, you know, these are these zombie computers. And then he tries to get all folksy. Now, this is a guy who has been corporate counsel to Lockheed Martin and lives in one multi-million-dollar mansion and has another one for spare. And he also was on the board of HSBC, crooked-ass bank. And made another fortune there. And then he got to be FBI director. Or, well, he stepped in as a deputy, whatever. And then he gets elevated to FBI director.
So, wait. Stop. Hold up. See, I didn't realize that this man is a fucking gazillionaire. And now he gets to be FBI director?
Yes.
And who appointed him?
Yeah, but the thing is, I was sitting there watching, having a law school flashback, just going, this guy's hiding something, and it's not like he's hiding classified stuff, because if you're the director of the FBI, you can say, hey, that's classified, and you move on, because you get to say that, and you can just be cool and calm and collected. Dude was freaking out. He knows something. He knows he did something.
He knows.
And like I said, so here's this multi-gazillionaire FBI director who tries to get all folksy. Somebody asked him an Anthony Weiner question. Well, it was, I think it may have been a precious Lindsey Graham sitting there with a snift of bourbon, asking him about... why wasn't somebody prosecuted for Anthony Weiner having classified information, Mr. Comey? And he says, he makes reference to this Weiner fella. Like he just walked in off the farm in, northern Minnesota. Like he'd never heard of the guy before, this Weiner fella.
Like you just stepped on this
opposite
of Fargo or something.
Yeah, it was weird.
He was
concealing something, and we've talked a lot, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, Tracy. We've talked a lot because one of the things that he said early on that got the. Got the email circulating. Breaking news, New York Times, breaking news, The Guardian, blah, blah, blah. One of the things he said was, yes, the Russians are still involved in our politics. And that's what went around. And I'm beginning to wonder, who's got the dirty pictures of James Comey? Just based on his conduct today, somebody does. With a dead girl or a live boy, somebody's got some goods on James Comey.
I mean, because my question is, you're thinking, oh my God, I don't, if I had anything to do with Hillary Clinton losing the election, I feel so terrible because I didn't think. And I'm like, you dirty bastard. You Republican piece of shit. Really?
Mildly
you
nauseous.
Feel bad?
Mildly nauseous. Mildly nauseous, you don't even go to the bathroom for the Pepto-Bismol.
No, mildly nauseated, you know what you do? You drink some water, you go get a crack, you go get a saltine, you might chew, you go get a peppermint, or we're growing mint in our garden. You go get a piece of mint. That's what you do for mildly nauseated, or you take some deep breaths. You know what I'm saying? For mildly nauseated. What you have unleashed upon this country, this man is talking about taking us out of what the Paris talks. This man has signed out for what, everything that Barack Obama, it's like he is taking this, like he has a hard on. For anything and everything Barack Obama and Michelle Obama does.
And for the most part, if a Republican was asking him questions, I learned a new thing today. Angelo told me that there's no such thing as fluffers in the porn industry anymore because everybody's just chemically augmented. Yeah, seriously.
Because
what I had said was that if John Cornyn ever decides he's tired of being a senator, he'll make a great fluffer based on his performance with James Comey.
I saw that.
And he did. And the funny thing was, it was like the Gorsuch hearing all over again, Tracy. He was a babbling font of information if a Republican was questioning, and I mean he shut down tight the minute that a Democrat asked a question.
Well,
and then on top of it all, I was watching on the CBS News app. And, you know, it's not going to be long before I'm gone full Alex Jones. Just pure raging paranoia where stuff like this is concerned. Because I'm waiting all along, and because he's sort of a more junior member of the Judiciary Committee, the one person who knows how to conduct a cross-examination, Al Franken, starts leading Comey. And Comey does not like where he's being led, because remember, he's a lawyer too. Fuck, he was corporate counsel to Lockheed Martin and made millions of dollars. And he is being led by like a damn steer with a ring in its nose to a place he does not want to go. And Al Franken's not letting go of the ring. And so we're about, you know, two-thirds of the way into it. And son of a bitch, if the CBS News app people don't cut away to show a picture of Mahmoud Abbas walking into the White House.
Who?
You know, the Palestinian leader.
Oh, okay. What?
Right in the middle of the meat of this, and what he was leading him to was, Director Comey, don't you really think you need a look at Donald Trump's tax returns? And before Franken can ask that question, CBS News cuts away. And granted, other people didn't, but I didn't have that access.
So, do you know what the answer was?
I've got the clip here, but I haven't gotten to listen.
But I know you got to go to close out, you release, you go on and talk about her emails, and but you don't even ever release anything about the dossier, and you had all this information about Trump and the Russians.
Yeah. And he clammed right the hell up on the Golden Showers dossier.
And now.
Which, incidentally, is being proven more and more to be true. We will get to a point. We'll get. See, that's the thing, and we'll wrap this up this way. It took a couple of decades before the United States was really willing to confront the idea that the general of the army, James Wilkinson, back at the beginning of the 19th century, was in the pay and an active spy for the Spanish crown. I talked about this some a couple of months ago. And then, as quick as it was acknowledged, it was buried because we didn't like that version of American history where a general would sell out his own country. It was in the pocket, but it will come out. And what we find out along the way is the other people who were in that pocket too, pocket change. And for all I know, one of them was James Comey.
And on that note,
we'll
get to hear from you too. And I'm going to send that money right now so I don't forget.
Okay. You take care and have a lovely evening. Hey, Dikemba. Bye now.
I will. Good night.
The one and only Tracy, the lady cab driver. And if somebody doesn't meet it here in short order, Cascadia says, my $25 challenge, otherwise known as the Save the National Monuments or Teddy Roosevelt, $5 in the next few seconds to make that happen. But I feel like we've had a pretty good evening of it just the same. Tomorrow for Thorn in the Side Thursday. We're not in a hole. How awesome is that? Shirley's challenge got met. How awesome is that? So thanks, everybody, all of you who keep the horn going, who listen to the program, who share your precious finite time in this little conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to midweek utility chat room moderator Steve from Georgistan. He didn't know I was going to, but as quick as he heard, he was right there in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.